You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. I'm off on vacation, and pleased to welcome your able blogger and all-around radio guy, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
There you go, the hiccups. Jesse's got hiccups. You may hear them throughout the next hour.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it's not. But take a drink of water. That'll take care of it.
My chair, and I'm wondering how I get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to
the right.
Here I am, stuck in the middle.
Stuck in the middle for one more hour with you here today on the Peter B. Collins Show, our Election Integrity Hour, of course. Once again, folks who may know me from the PBC show, I sit in every Friday in the third hour of Peter B.'s show to discuss issues of election integrity, and we've just hijacked the whole damn show. We're doing an Election Integrity Hour every day rather than once a week, because I think it's merited. All right, we've got some breaking news here momentarily coming out of the Secretary of State's office concerning Deborah Bowen, California Secretary of State's top-to-bottom review, which is due any moment. Well, it's actually going to be due this Friday rather than next week. And, well, heck, we may be on the air and able to cover it. We're going to talk about that and much more as we're getting closer to this. You know, Deborah Bowen has... ran for Secretary of State on the promise of reviewing these electronic voting machines, which her predecessor, Bruce McPherson, didn't bother to look at all. I don't care what anybody tells you. This guy rubber-stamped them. He let in anything and anybody who wanted to have a voting machine here as long as it was computerized and secret. And he had Diebold guys working out of his office. A fellow by the name of Rob Pelletier was actually drafting documents for these people. So Secretary of State Deborah Bowen is finally doing a review of these things. We're going to talk about that in a second. But first, although he may want to talk about it as well, as usual, checking in and we're going to have Ellen Tyson here also shortly to talk about the Senate hearings today. Dianne Feinstein's Senate committee to talk about her crappy election reform bill 1487. But first, our good friend from VotersUnite.org, John Gideon, joins us to give us the latest in the world of daily voting news. What's up, John?
Hi, Brad. Hi, everybody. I'll skip the 1487 stuff because you guys are going to talk about that, and I'll let Ellen have all the time that she needs on that.
Okay.
We'll get to, San Francisco County.
Right.
San Francisco County has in the past used optical scan voting system that was specially set up for them because of their IRV type of voting.
Instant runoff voting.
There you go.
Called. Okay.
Because of their instant runoff voting, and this system was put together by ES&S. It was first used in November of 2004. It was given a one-time only certification by the Secretary of State's office.
Right.
So
meaning they certified it, they said it can be used only for this next year, in other words, right?
Yeah, well, okay. For this coming election only. That's it.
Right.
The following year, ES&S brought the same exact system and says, we need to be certified again. Secretary of State's office gave them another year's certification.
For another year. Year to year, they keep going.
2006. Okay. This will be the last time that you guys get certification. This time, we have the documentation on the California Secretary of State's website that shows the problems. They had many problems with this system they had used in the previous 2 years. It didn't always count properly. It had problems with the instant runoff voting, the way things had to be tabulated.
Why, can I break in, John, why was it not certified just normally? Why were they giving this one-year dispensation? Is it because there was problems with it as it existed that did not meet the code as it was supposed to?
There was numerous reasons, amongst others. It didn't recognize any ink other than black or dark blue. So if people were voting from home and they used, as voters do, a red pen or a crayon or a lipstick or a Sharpie or whatever, the machine wouldn't pick it up and they would have to actually mark another ballot or mark that ballot.
Do the other voting systems actually read red ink, or is it not a problem?
There are some that I'm sure do. I know that red ink is used. There's special ink colors that won't be picked up by some of the machines, and in fact the elections offices use those to mark on ballots, to mark stuff that they don't want the optical scan machine to pick up.
Okay, so ESNS has gotten this one-year dispensation now four times in a row. Why aren't they getting it again? What's the problem now?
Deborah Bowen came into office, and she says you've been given 1 year and told for the last 3 years that you weren't going to get it again, so this time you're not going to get it again. So they're not going to get certified. They've already been told that. San Francisco County has been told they're not going to be allowed to use that system anymore.
And they've got elections coming up, right?
They have an election coming up, so they're now in the process of trying to figure out how they're going to count their IRV ballots. And it's liable to go to hand counting, which they are estimating will require 400 people and as long as a month to count ballots. And part of the reason that's probably a too large an estimate of time, but it's probably not that much too large because it is IRV, so it requires counting and tabulating.
And instant runoff voting, just so people understand, this is where they've got when there's not a clear majority, they then go to you can base your preferences. This is the guy I vote for as first choice, second choice, third choice, right?
Right.
So it is a little bit more complicated, both to add up and to certainly to hand count if that's what they have to do. And the governor, the mayor, as I recall. Newsom has said that he is prepared. He's fine with going to hand counting if that's what they have to do.
Yep, that's right.
And so, does that look like what is going to now happen?
I don't know. They're going to have to come up with something. They were talking about possibly going with the Sequoia system, but they've turned that down because Sequoia didn't want to release their source code. Even under NDA conditions or anything, so non-disclosure agreement conditions. So
Sequoia was going to bring in touchscreen voting, DREs, and is that correct? It was going to be touchscreen?
I'm not sure if it was touchscreen or another paper-based, another optical scan system. But they refused to
disclose their source code.
Right.
Sequoia did. Okay. All right.
One other story.
Yep.
Real quick. The state of Utah has the part of the problem with the new electronic voting machines is that it has actually made it so that there is a lack or a shortage of poll workers. The people my age, grandma and grandpa, are no longer interested in going and working at the polls. We used to like doing it back when there were paper ballots because we could meet and greet and gossip and all that stuff. Now we got these newfangled machines that none of us can figure out. And believe me, I'm not being facetious or anything. I'm there.
Right.
We can't figure them out, so they're just it's no fun anymore. So we're not going to work the polls. So cities, counties, states are having problems recruiting poll workers to go and do their thing.
That is happening all over the country now.
Yes.
These people, 70-year-old ladies, God love them, but they don't know how to be rocket scientists and use these stupid voting machines.
That's right. So the state of Utah for one, came up with an idea about, well, we will allow corporations to, they can sponsor a voting site and actually go and put their employees at a voting site as poll workers, and they can wear their uniforms or put signs up saying this site sponsored by, you know, McDonald's or Walmart or whatever.
So our polling places could start looking like NASCAR races before long, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Put jumpsuits on them from Valvoline and support that way.
All right. So Dayton, Ohio,
yeah.
Montgomery County, Ohio, they had the same idea. And everything was going to work out fine, but then some of the Democrats got wind of the fact that one of the places was actually being sponsored by a group called Dayton Right to Life. And the head of the Dayton Right to Life said that, you know, we'll be happy to talk to people about life issues when they come to the polls. So the county is now rethinking their decision. There was going to actually be poll workers there with anti-abortion materials and, you know, all the right to life things, doing their bit, and
unbelievable.
Yep.
John, I got to get out here. Daily Voting News. You can read more on all of those, all of the above. Daily Voting News will be posted just off after we go off the air over at bradblog.com. John Gideon of VotersUnite.org does that every day. Thank you for all you do, John. We will talk to your partner Ellen shortly, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, Brad Friedman here during the Election Integrity Hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Still got a lot ahead. Stay with us.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Okay, folks, time to check traffic, and let's get to it. Let's start off with a problem. Coming in from the CHP, it is located in Prunedale, northbound 101 at San Miguel Canyon Road. A two-vehicle crash being reported there. Looks like CHP already on scene there. Really, that seems to be the only big problem. Northbound 17 and southbound 17, we had a problem in the northbound direction with a truck fire and accident. Everything seems to have recovered there. So that certainly is some good news. And so traffic, however, is still slow in both areas. No other problems to report except for a little road work on Santa Cruz, northbound 17 at northbound 1 at Emmeline. Excuse me, the off-ramp closed 24 hours a day. A support brought to you by Mancini Sleep World. A perfect day starts with a great night's sleep. Mancini Sleep World. You can call 1-800-64-SLEEP or visit sleepworld.com. That's traffic on KRXA.
To the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your friendly citizen guest blogger. No, citizen investigative blogger sitting in as guest host on the PBC show. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We're going to have Ellen Tyson momentarily from votersunite.org to catch us up on what happened today in the Senate hearings with Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, who has an election reform bill, 1487, and it's not good. She's going to tell us how that went there. A couple of news items, though, to catch up with quickly here on the voting front here in our election, our daily election integrity hour. As I mentioned before, Deborah Bowen's top-to-bottom review of voting systems, the California Secretary of State, reviewing all of the electronic voting systems. And we just got word, let me get to it here, from the Secretary of State's office, that report we thought was due next Thursday. In fact, the independent reports, these are the groups that are looking at the voting machines and actually for the first time in the history of this country hacking those machines, actually doing what are called red team attacks, vulnerability penetration attacks, their reports will be due, will be finalized and posted on the Secretary of State website this Friday, July 27th. Hopefully it's before we go on the air. We'll try to give them a look. We're also trying to get Deborah Bowen to join us on that day. What will be posted are the team's findings in the four areas of the voting systems review that they're looking at. There'll be no opinions about what the state or counties should do because, you recall, they may be decertifying some of these systems based on what these teams find. Then next Monday, 10 a.m. in Sacramento, there will be a public hearing on these findings. I'm hoping that all of you peeps within spitting distance of Sacramento will get up there and make some noise at this public hearing. It will begin with the two principal investigators presenting an overview of their findings, followed by vendor responses, the voting machine companies, and then a general public comment period. Got that, Sacramento? If you're listening, take the day off on Monday, 10 a.m., and get to the State House. Let's see. Secretary Bowen's decision then on system certification will come August 3rd. after her thorough review of the findings and the public input, etc. So that's what you have to look forward to. What else you have to look forward to? And Ellen Tyson, hang in there. I promise we're going to get to you. It might be after the break here because I want to give you plenty of time. The other thing you have to look forward to is the California elections clerks, currently headed by President Steve Weir, who is the Registrar of Voters in Contra Costa County. I invited him to be on the show here. We were not able to get him, or he hasn't responded yet. Hopefully he will tomorrow. If so, we'll try to get him in later this week. But in a report on top-to-bottom review, Weir had a very interesting point to make. What he said was he told the reporter Steve Harmon that the clerks could decide to ignore Bowen's findings and continue to use their systems, which are already federally qualified. Such a decision would almost certainly create a legal standoff. I would, almost certainly, for sure. Sounds like the California elections clerks are taking their legal advice from Dick Cheney at this point. They feel they can do whatever the hell they want to do. In the meantime, of course, Diebold's spokeshole, David Baer, he is, by the way, a liar. He has lied to me many times. Here's what he had to say about Bowen's review. Let's see. He said here, you have someone who made some allegations that are either unfounded or they rely on a scenario not reflective of true election environment. It's all based on a scenario of a so-called hacker with complete and unlimited access to a system. He hates this review. Can't imagine why, Mr. Baer. Yes, Mr. Baer, a so-called hacker with complete and unlimited access to a system, someone, like you, someone who works for Diebold, someone who works for the voting machine companies that regularly get all the access they want to these machines to do any damn thing they want. Or perhaps an election official who gets complete and unlimited access to these systems. Perhaps he might want to game an election. Now, I know that someone like Tony Anchundo, the former California Registrar of Voters up in Monterey County, he would never want to do anything like this. We should have faith and trust in him, as he told me on this very show, on the Peter B. Collins Show, just a few months before Tony Anchundo was charged with 43 criminal counts, which he has since pled no contest to, and he's serving time in jail for. I'm sorry, Mr. Baer. We don't trust you. We don't trust elections officials. We shouldn't. Our system is not built on trust. It's built on checks and balances. That's why these systems need to work. That's why they can't be hackable. And that's why they need to be fully transparent to the citizens of this country, because we need to keep the elections secure. Not you, Mr. Baer. Not you, Mr. Weir of Contra Costa, but the citizens. We want a transparent system. We're going to keep fighting for it because we think it's worth it. All right, we're going to talk with Ellen Tyson of VotersUnite.org right after this about the Senate hearings today in Washington, D.C. We'll be back. I'm Brad Friedman. We'll be right back.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Have you ever felt trapped by fears, anxieties, and limitations in your life? Are there recurring problems you just can't seem to solve? There are solutions to the traps and puzzles of life, and Glenn Brooks, host of Vibrant Living, can show you how to find them. Join Glenn and Simone Zone creator John Mejia for a special Vibrant Living series on energy, psychology, and what it could do for you. This simple, respectful, drug-free, holistic approach based on current understanding of imagery, acupuncture, and focus can open up new insights and abilities. Saturday at 11 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women to me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and Peter B. on vacation. Hosting today from Houston, the citizen journalist who presides over bradblog.com. Here's Brad Friedman.
Election reform. It sure ain't pretty.
No, it ain't.
Election reform. Every state, every city. Election reform. Like Iraq or Ukraine. Election reform. In the USA. We don't believe our votes are concrete.
No, we don't.
No paper ballots.
Nope.
We can't compete.
We can't.
Gotta wonder if somebody cheats.
Somebody.
Election reform is not a sexy thing. Election reform. The media swings. Election reform. Do they steal? Do they rob? Election reform. Gotta look to the blog.
Look to the Brad blog for your election reform headquarters. You can also look over to votersunite.org, where Ellen Tyson works along with John Gideon. Ellen joins us today to update us on the Senate hearings today. Dianne Feinstein's House Rules Administration Committee, something like that. Oh, Ellen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thanks, Brad.
House Rules Committee, right?
Rules and Administration Committee.
Senate there you go.
Rules and Administration Committee.
All right, well, she's got a new election reform bill, 1487. I know you're a big, big fan of that bill, right?
Or, you know, little brackets of sarcasm. Yeah.
And so what was the hearing like today? What were the high points? What were the low points? Are they passing the bill, or are they fixing it and or throwing it out altogether at this point?
Well, it's interesting. According to what Feinstein said, they're not going to move forward on it until there's more buy-in. And it sounded like they were going to be making changes on it.
What does buy-in mean? Meaning more senators signing on and so forth?
I think there was a lot of, I think what she meant was a lot more people saying, yeah, this looks good. There were a lot of concerns expressed in the hearing. The major concerns, I believe, sounded like they were about time constraints and costs. Secretary of State, Vermont Secretary of State Markowitz brought up the fact that the equipment that is required for DREs does not exist yet. And Feinstein seemed surprised by that.
The this is the equipment that she's requiring in her own bill to allow these things to be, the paper trails, so-called, to be printed on durable paper?
That and the accessible verification
and
she required. It sounded to me like she wasn't, like she was a little bit surprised by that.
These are the text readers, theoretically, that are going to read back to the blind voters and so forth what is actually on the paper ballot, correct?
Right.
And she didn't know that this technology had not yet been invented?
That's what it sounded like. I guess we'd have to go back and listen again, but it sounded kind of surprised. She asked. She sounded surprised. So anyway, there were several other people who brought that up as well, and then there were some concerns expressed about the cost, because if it hasn't been developed yet, how can we estimate what it's going to cost or how much time it's going to take?
Right.
All very good questions. And so there were quite a few concerns expressed about that.
Did anybody, and of course they don't carry these sorts of hearings on the television or even C-SPAN for the most part, did anybody surprise you in their statements, any of the witnesses?
Well.
And speak up for us, Ellen. We're having a little trouble hearing you on this end. So
well, yeah, actually I wasn't talking.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about that, and I don't think anybody did really surprise me. There were a couple of comments, very small comments made about not federalizing elections.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping that somebody would make a little bit more out of that, but they didn't. Doug Lewis, our Doug Lewis mentioned that he would rather see objectives rather than prescriptive stuff.
R. Doug Lewis of the Election Center, which is really a front group, if you ask me, for the voting machine companies. So he said what exactly?
He said
what does
that
mean?
He preferred to see objectives rather than prescriptive stuff.
Meaning no mandates, just some good ideas of what you'd like us to do, and we'll leave it up to the voting machine companies if they actually want to do it.
Well, he didn't say specifically what prescriptive stuff he was talking about, although he was very concerned about the voter verified paper trail. He didn't think that was a very good idea at all, and he talked about that quite a bit. Seamus also was very concerned about the voter verified paper trail.
Let me just fill in the blanks here. That's okay. Dr. Michael Seamus out of Pennsylvania, who is actually a big supporter of electronic voting.
Yes, he is. He spoke words that I would have spoken about the voter verified paper trail, though. He said it, while it offers the voter an opportunity to verify her ballot on one medium, it offers no assurance whatsoever that her ballot was counted, ever will be counted, or that it will be present when and if a recount or audit is conducted.
Well,
so I would agree with those things, but then he goes on to say that basically paper ballots are just as bad. And I don't agree with that. He feels that the part of the problem with the bill is that it requires the voter verified paper ballots, so the much better technology methods of verification would not have an opportunity to be developed and implemented.
So Michael Seamus would like to continue with touchscreen voting machines, no paper ballots, no paper trails, and just trust the machines, right? Is that what his was? Was that still
his
position?
Well, in 28 years of using these machines, there has been no proven case of ballot tampering with them.
is that what he says?
Yes. He fails to point out, of course, that it is impossible to detect ballot tampering with them.
You wouldn't know if it's hacked. That's the same thing. I don't know if you heard me going on. You wouldn't know And this is what Stephen Weir has said out here in California, that, you know, we have no evidence. We're concerned about hacks, but we've got no evidence. That's the point.
Yes.
A proper hack, you wouldn't know if it's been hacked.
Yes.
And let me also add, if I could, Alan, about Michael Chamos. While he has no evidence of anybody ever hacking in 43 years or whatever, we should remind folks here, he tests voting systems for Pennsylvania, for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And while demonstrating last year to some folks who had come in, while demonstrating how unhackable the Sequoia voting system was, Michael Chamos accidentally hacked the Sequoia voting system.
That's funny.
Do you remember this?
Yes,
in front of their eyes.
I do.
He actually accidentally hacked it while he was showing them how it couldn't be hacked, and now he's in Congress saying, oh, don't worry about it, everything's fine, there's no evidence of...
Right, but that was a hack during testing, not during a real election. So apparently there's a distinction there.
That doesn't count,
brother. He started off by saying that he had just completed his 121st voting system examination.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually felt embarrassed for him because so many of them have failed that one has to wonder why he was approving them. There were some other interesting things. Right after he talked about that it would be a problem because this bill, the practical outcome of this bill would be to ban DREs, but they've been used here without incident. Then he goes on to say, the problem isn't security but reliability. Almost 10% of them fail on election day. And adding a printer reduces reliability. Almost 20% of them fail on election day if they have a printer attached. And I'm having trouble understanding how he deduces that it's a good idea for us to keep them.
Yeah, and yet he has been one of the very few, and it's been pointed out to me, he's actually not a computer scientist. At least that's not what his degree is or something, but... He's one of the few computer guys, we'll call him, who actually supports these systems without any kind of paper trail. He's recognized the problems that we have with them, but his stated position has been that, well, it's still the best way to go, better than paper ballots. We'll just fix the problems as we notice them as we go forward.
Yeah.
After, well, of course, you know, we do notice them, if we notice them.
And we do notice them. And we still go forward with them.
Right. And he does. He certainly does. He hasn't seen a voting machine, I think, that even one that he's accidentally hacked that he doesn't like. He's happy to go forward with it. What did Hillary Clinton actually, she was scheduled to be a witness. Did she actually give testimony today?
She did. And she actually sounded pretty good. One thing that was interesting to me was, and you saw this with a lot of the people, is they pointed out the problems that they were trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it, listening to the hearing, you could get the impression that it really was well-intentioned, that they understood the problems, were trying to solve them, but unfortunately they are not solving them. They're going in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
But she pointed out we wanted it to remove barriers to voting, concerned about long lines in some precincts, which I believe she was talking about getting the resource allocation better.
More machines so we don't have these kind of long lines and so forth.
Yes,
and
well,
day.
Specifically she mentioned how there were long lines in some of the precincts with minority voters and no waiting in other lines with white voters. And so she was talking, and that's one of the things that the bill encourages the EAC to do is create resource allocation guidelines so that you don't have long lines in one precinct and cross the street and there's no lines at all.
In the white districts, but in the minority African-American districts, people are lined up around the block. That's just a coincidence, Alan. Why do you point that stuff out? Are you some... Oh, you and Hillary are some kind of conspiracy theorists.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's just a coincidence. Brother. So she gave testimony on that. On what basis
what
was she...
Well, what she did was she was talking about the goals, and one of the goals is to ensure that 21st century reform uses 21st century technology to help enfranchise rather than disenfranchise.
Okay.
So that was one of the overriding themes was, what technology can we use to make democracy safe?
Uh-huh.
And as no one brought up the idea that the way you can make democracy safe is by having everything as open as possible and have citizens observing and have everything completely observable. It seems like they're trying to figure out what kind of technology can we use that is going to take care of this so that we don't have to have citizens taking care of it.
Yeah, here's some technology. Two legs, a couple of eyeballs, and watch the damn ballots and watch the damn machines and watch everything and everybody. There's your technology. Oh, yeah, and a piece of paper and a pencil and a box.
Yep.
That's the technology.
So Hillary is the only person who brought up the vile performance benchmarks, the undervoting issue, where Congress finds that...
very quickly, Ellen, because we got 30 seconds here. We got to get out.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Is that all we've got entirely?
Stick around. Well, I'll pick you up on the other side of this commercial. Sit tight.
Okay.
We'll hit this point real quick when we come back. You are listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman. Ellen Tyson from VotersUnite.org back with us right after this.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
That I really believe that pagan and the abortionists, the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the high levels of our government.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, time for our last traffic report of the night. We're going to take a look at Campbell southbound 17 between Hamilton Avenue, and it looks like the Cat's Restaurant, extremely slow traffic. The reason, we had an earlier crash, and so it's really caused some major headaches, to say the least. And if you're traveling in Pajaro right now, San Juan Road, it's Salinas Road, we have an injury crash. I can tell you it's a solo vehicle that actually overturned and then landed back on its wheels. We have fire crews, paramedics, and CHP on scene there. Now, let's take a look at Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emmeline. The off-ramp still shut down, 24 hours there for long-term road work. Other than that, just be advised that if in San Jose, for example, we got the Grand Prix street closures that will go in effect tonight. And so if you're traveling into downtown San Jose, be advised about those various street closures. This report brought to you by Luxor Las Vegas.
We'll be right back.
Okay, that was a message from Dianne Feinstein this time for Ellen Tyson. Stay away from her, Ellen Tyson, and her election reform bill. We're speaking, we've got just a few more minutes here before we're wrapping up for the day, and we may have time for a special guest here in studio very shortly. Ellen Tyson of VotersUnite.org. I know you wanted to make a point about that Feinstein bill you're so enthralled with, election
reform
bill.
Well, actually, I wanted to make a couple of points about the hearing. One, the first one is, it seems to me that what all of these people were doing is addressing symptoms. And there was very little attention, if any, paid to principles, the principles of democracy. And so there was nothing said about all of this power that the bill hands to the United States Election Assistance Commission.
Mm.
There were a couple of allusions made to, well, you know, things should be handled at the local level. But nothing was, I don't think the Election Assistance Commission was even brought up. The four presidential appointees who were established by HAVA in order to provide assistance to the states,
right.
This bill hands them enormous amount of authority, responsibility, and power, which they have shown repeatedly they are incapable of handling.
Well,
nothing was said about that.
Of course. I don't know if they don't understand it or if they're just fine. You know, one of the things Dianne Feinstein did was allow these two latest commissioners to go through her commission, her committee, without even a hearing. And I hate to cut you off.
Have one other really important point.
Okay, quick, 30 seconds, and then
okay.
I'll give you a good out.
Doug Lewis said, love your handling of the source code issue, actually making it revealed rather than open. There was absolutely nothing else said about the fact that this bill allows corporate proprietary rights to supersede citizen rights over their own elections.
Yeah, you don't mean revealed rather than open. You mean concealed rather than opened, right?
That's what he said was love. Just like that, love your handling of the source code issue. This is the one that is going to completely make it impossible for citizens to get any information about their election.
Of course he loves it.
And
it's going to stay secret, and no one's going to see it. And his cronies and his friends at the EAC will see it. And by the way, Ellen, tomorrow on this very show, we are going to have Tova Wang, who was gagged by the EAC. She has now been ungagged. She can speak about the voter fraud report that she gave them that they buried, then they rewrote, and then they shut her up for 6 months. She's going to speak, I think, for the first time tomorrow, and we're going to take calls, and we're going to be with her for a half hour, 45 minutes on this show, and we will talk plenty about that Elections Assistance Commission and what a joke that is.
Voter fraud came up repeatedly in the hearing as if it were a real problem, too.
As if it were.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Well, we'll have much more on that tomorrow. For more from Ellen Tyson, please go to votersunite.org. Check out her analysis of the Dianne Feinstein bill. And, of course, as I can twist her arm, perhaps she can guest blog some of this stuff for us over at bradblog.com. I'm working on her. I'm working on her.
Thanks for having me on, Brad.
Hey, thanks, Ellen. Sorry about the constraints of time here.
Okay.
All right. Ellen Tyson, votersunite.org. Go check out the site. And, of course, the daily voting news from John Gideon of votersunite.org, which will be up very, very shortly, as soon as we go off the air this evening. All right. You heard me tease tomorrow. Tova Wang is going to be with us ungagged for the first time. Also, PBC military affairs contributor Scott Dick will be with us. Faz Shakir, again, from thinkprogress.org, or someone from ThinkProgress. Is it Faz? Oh, good. I like Faz. Christina Johnson of Sierra Club, and any other guests and so forth that we scare up with breaking news and whatnot. And along those lines, I should add, there is some breaking news right now. Over at rawstory.com, AP is reporting that documents contradict Alberto Gonzalez's sworn testimony, which may, in fact, lead to perjury hearings. Are you surprised? Before we bring in our very special guest here in just a moment, I want to make sure I have time to thank out at Mission Control, producer PBC producer Katrina Rill, and our engineer, working for the man, working hard, Brian Urban out there. Agent 99, keeping an eye on the Brad Blog chat room. Thank you so much, Agent 99. Alan Breslauer for helping us out with some audio and video for today's show. He's also a frequent Brad Blog guest contributor. Go check his work out over there. Who else did I... Desi Doyen. Thank you, Desi. She's here in studio, really making sure that all of this happens. Okay, before we go here, we got a very special guest. He's actually in studio here with us, and I believe he is one of George W. Bush's top advisors. He prefers to be known just as Alistair, and he joins us here for now. Alistair, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well, and thank you, by the way, for all the very good advice you've been giving to George W. Bush. Is that are you the one responsible for his policies?
Actually, I'm Desi's nephew.
Oh, you are? Oh, so you're not a Bush policy advisor. Okay, well, with that in mind, then, what do you, are you a George W. Bush fan?
No.
You're not? Why not? What? No, don't prompt him. Don't help him. Nobody's going to... What do you have against George W. Bush?
Well, I've read a lot about him.
You have?
A lot of the books said that he was the most selfish president we've ever had.
Really? And how old are you, Alistair?
9.
And you've read books that said he's the most selfish president we've ever had?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I believe you. If you say so, do you remember what the books were?
No idea.
Harry Potter. It was Harry Potter that said it, wasn't it? Didn't Harry Potter, they talk about George W. Bush being selfish? Was that in there? You don't know.
That's Harry Potter, not George W. Bush.
Oh, okay. Well, so now who do you, if you don't like George W. Bush, are you going to be voting this year for next year for president?
I'm 9.
Well, yeah, so you're not going to vote? How old do you have to be to vote?
18.
Oh, 18. Wait, is it 18? Yeah, it is. That's going to say 21. That's a whole different. So you got to be 18. You are very smart. So if you could vote, who would you vote for next time? Have you picked a candidate yet? Someone you like next time?
Not really.
No? How about your mom?
She's not running for president.
Oh, why isn't she running?
Because she doesn't want to run.
Okay. Is she old enough to run? Are you old enough to run for president, Mom? You were born out of the country. Oh, you're a foreigner. Oh, okay. Are you allowed to vote?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know what? I'm not happy with any of the presidential candidates we got out there. I've got a few choices who I might be interested in. Maybe we'll have time to talk about that on another show. Now that Alistair's mom ain't running, now I'm really out of luck. All right. Another scintillating 3 hours in the can for the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to thank you all for joining us. We're going to be back for 2 more days here on duty. Glad to be here. Looking forward to talking to you tomorrow.